Wet walks downstairs, a loner in pairs, and makes a slinkity sound. A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky.
It's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
So who remembers playing with Slinkies? We'll have some fun this hour talking about Slinkies and other toys that are in the National Toy Hall of Fame. And we'll welcome your nominations for the toys you think should be honored. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 3rd. The National Toy Hall of Fame is currently seeking your suggestions through the end of this month for the next toys to be inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame in November. There are 49 toys in the Hall of Fame right now, including the Slinky. What should be the next toy inducted? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Chris Bench, Vice President for Collections at The Strong in Rochester, New York. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. Good morning.
Hey, Joy.
It's great to have you on the program.
Well, now I know what song is going to be running through my head all day long.
I know, I know. I'm just, it's fun for a girl and a boy. You know, I could never get my Slinky to climb all the way down the stairs. Was I the only one?
No, Slinky's like stairs that don't have very shallow front to back reach. They
okay.
can step down, but they can't step out. So that's probably your problem.
That was probably it. I know, I was a little bit frustrated with that, but that was a fun toy. So how does this nomination process work?
You know, this is better than democracy because everyone gets more than one vote.
Good.
Anybody can propose a toy, nominate a toy that they think belongs in the Hall of Fame, and between now and the end of July, you can do that every hour of every day if you're really motivated.
Yeah, vote early, vote often.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And all you have to bear in mind is that there's three big criteria for toys to get in the Hall of Fame. They've got to be toys with longevity, at least 20 years on the market, so both parents and kids could have played with the same toy. And second, these are toys that are, we call them iconic, recognizable. Nobody'd mix up a hula hoop for a Slinky, for a Lego brick, for a teddy bear. All of those are ones, whatever your age, you know instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, these are toys that encourage learning, creativity, discovery. These aren't the ones that you press a button, it does its little trick, and 5 minutes later you're bored and playing with the cardboard box it came in.
And there are only, I guess I was surprised that there are only 49 toys in the Hall of Fame. Why so few?
Well, it's an elite honor, for mm-hmm. one. And second, this is a fairly new Hall of Fame compared with something like the Baseball Hall of Fame. We've only been around since 1998. And inducting just two or three toys a year over the last decade, that means toys get a real great boost of attention, but it also means that there are so many great toys waiting in the wings, and I hope all your listeners will tell us about the ones we've overlooked.
I do, too. So what we can do is we can go to your website and propose or nominate a toy or toys as many times as we want through this month, and then what happens?
Then our internal advisory team takes a look at all those nominations. So far in the tally I did last week, we've had more than 300 different toys proposed for induction. And we pick the 12 that best meet our criteria that year and send those out to our national selection committee. And those are people with expertise in toys or childhood or history, and they're kind of the academy in our own little academy awards. They're the ones who vote on the finalists.
And then there's a big induction ceremony in November sometime.
That's right. Just after Election Day, when everyone is sick of political news, we swoop in there with a feel-good story about classic toys.
That's great. It's a really important election with the toys.
That's right.
So what are some of the, I don't know, what are some of the proposals so far? Do you have some of them there?
Yes. Well, actually, last week I was meeting with a conference of toy designers, and one of the guys there was a big advocate for Silly String, which he reminded me is now 40 years old. I guess I didn't realize it had that much age onto it, and certainly the classic scene from the movie Big where Tom Hanks plays around with Silly String is one that sticks in people's minds.
Oh, that's a great one. You have to be careful around birthday candles that are burning when you have Silly String, though.
Oh, you speak from experience?
Yes, I do. It's not a safe thing to do. But that is a great toy. What else?
Well, there are advocates for some of the character product lines like Transformers and Power Rangers and Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm hearing from all of those folks.
Well, let's hear from some of our folks who are listening right now. You have until the end of July to nominate your favorite toy or a toy that you think ought to be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame. We're talking about the nomination process and the criteria and the most iconic toys in American history. What toys should be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll also talk about some of the toys that are already there. There is a good chance of rain in northern Wisconsin this morning, but it is going to be a very hot day for much of the state. An excessive heat warning has been posted for parts of southern and western Wisconsin. Highs today ranging from 85 in the north to 102 in the south. And with the heat index, it's going to feel even hotter than that. This excessive heat warning goes on for parts of southern and western Wisconsin through 10 o'clock on Friday night. So do try to stay cool. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Big wheels are a-rollin'. Listen to them turn. The big wheel sound of power with speed enough to burn. Winning. Spinning. Breaking. The Big Wheel by Marx.
The Big Wheel, another toy that is already in the National Toy Hall of Fame. We are talking about iconic toys, toys that are already in the Hall of Fame, and the toys you would like to see inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And on Facebook, you'll find a link to our guest's website. Our guest is the Vice President for Collections at the Strong in Rochester, New York. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. You will find the nomination page if you would like to nominate a toy for the Toy Hall of Fame. The induction ceremony will be in November, but now is the time to nominate. So what are your favorite toys? What toys would you wish to see in the National Toy Hall of Fame? Two already from our listeners. Debbie emailed a nomination. She says, I nominate the Spirograph. Do you know how many hours this simple set of plastic pieces and colored pens kept me captivated when I was a little girl? This was my most favorite toy. And Nick in Milwaukee also emailed to nominate the Spirograph. So it looks like we got a trend going here, Chris.
It looks like a groundswell going.
Yeah. The Spirograph is not there yet, is it?
It's not. That's a toy that I grew up with as well. It had a great TV commercial, as I remember, that let you see exactly what you could do. And it was a lot of fun with those gears and wheels and the kinds of elaborate artwork it let you do.
And well, this would probably meet the criteria, yes. It's not just pushing a button. It promotes creativity and discovery.
Absolutely, and it's been around almost 50 years, if my tally's right.
Yeah, and I just played that Big Wheel commercial. I was never a big wheel fan myself, but I know that they're all over the neighborhoods.
They are, and that rumble of their hollow plastic wheels is one that I remember going to sleep by in a period when I had a really early job, a little like yours, Joy, and mm-hmm. I had to go to bed before the kids stopped playing on the street in their big wheels.
Right. Right. Is the bicycle there?
The bicycle is in. It's mm-hmm. one of what I call the wheeled wonders of the Hall of Fame, with roller skates, skateboards, and the big wheel. Those are great activity toys, and it's good to remind all of us in these electronic eras that there are toys that encourage kids to get out and just have fun on their own.
That's great. Yeah, the roller skate needs to be there for sure. And what did you call them?
I call them the Wheeled Wonders. And for smaller kids, one that's great fun and can transition is the Red Radio Flyer Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
You get towed around as a little kid, and then you get a little older, and you flip that wagon handle back towards you, put your knee in the wagon, and you've got kind of a scooter. And at my age, a wagon becomes an item for backyard play as I tow mulch around in it.
There we go. It goes from very young to older, I'll say. Okay. Stephanie in Fond du Lac is with us. Hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
Yes, what's your nomination?
Actually, I know I hope it's not among the push-button toys, but I remember this toy a long time ago, and it actually was in the movie E.T., that Elfie, I think it is. You know, you'd spell words with it, and it would, like, sound out the word for you, I think. It was really neat. I just remember playing with that a long time ago, and I loved it. And it was in that movie, and I thought that kind of was neat.
Oh, I don't remember that, Stephanie. Do you remember that one, Chris?
I do, and as a matter of fact, I am meeting with the inventor of Alfie, who is coming to Rochester a couple weeks from now, and he was also one of the co-creators of Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, cool.
So I will give him a big thumbs up from you and let him know that the Alfie advocates are out there, and Alfie has recently been re-released for a new generation to enjoy.
That is so. Tell me, Chris, again, what would I do with Alfie?
Alfie is, at the time in the 1980s, I believe, was kind of a primitive robot, and he had punched cards that let him read different items or give you quizzes that you answered. And one of my colleagues at the museum has been a big Alfie advocate and even donated her personal Alfie to the museum's collection. So he's a technology toy of his time and one that has had some persistence. So he's great.
Very good. Stephanie, thank you so much. Dan in Drummond is with us now. Hello, Dan. You're going to be nominating one of my favorite toys.
The one that I always fell in love with and always had for many years was Etch-a-Sketch.
Etch-a-Sketch is such a great toy. It's already in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So you have made a wonderful choice. A toy that has humbled me over the years, as I can barely draw a diagonal line, let alone elaborate artwork.
Yeah, that is. I just remember having one of those in the back seat in a some kind of road trip, a family vacation. I was in the back of the car, using an Etch-a-Sketch to in between. Are we there yet? But that was a lot of fun. So. Now, we actually have, I don't want to turn this program political, but apparently Etch-a-Sketch got a new life this year when it became a part of the presidential campaign.
That's right. In fact, I got inspired by that whole brouhaha to write a blog for our museum website about how I thought it was great, whatever your position politically is, that this was such an identifiable and classic toy that when that political spokesperson talked about Romney shaking up his campaign like an Etch-a-Sketch and starting over. Everybody in North America instantly could envision what would happen. They could probably even hear that little shaking sound
yes.
that you get from the inside of your Etch-a-Sketch as the aluminum dust reapplies to the back of that plastic screen, and they could envision that kind of start over. So I asked every other political person to start using more classic toys as analogies for what they were up to.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Chris Bench, Vice President for Collections at The Strong in Rochester, New York. We are talking about the nomination process for the National Toy Hall of Fame. You can propose a toy that you think ought to be inducted in the next Hall of Fame ceremony coming up in November. The Hall of Fame is Toy Hall of Fame is accepting your nominations through the end of this month. Let us know your favorite toy, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So how often are these classic toys re-released or maybe modified or changed for the next generation? You mentioned a toy that was being re-released.
You know, I think there's a marketing impulse in the toy companies and an impulse out there in consumers that encourages these toys to cycle through in kind of an evergreen way, because I think many parents and grandparents feel like, I had this toy as a kid. I thought it was great. I turned out okay. My child should have this toy, too.
Mm-hmm. So why should we, Chris, have a Toy Hall of Fame, or for that matter, a museum dedicated to toys?
Play and toys and games are such key parts of human development. They're part of all of our memories. They are part of how we link ourselves and carry through our entire lives. I've just been working on a project about games and jigsaw puzzles and other sorts of puzzles. And my colleagues and I were talking about how you can make a jigsaw puzzle as a little kid with one of those frame puzzles that has about 9 pieces fitting inside a cardboard frame. But at the other end of the age extreme, jigsaw puzzles are a pleasure to people who maybe don't have as great mobility and can fill days and prompt happy memories and set you challenges that help you adapt to life and escape from life, maybe both at the same time.
Here's a great email from Barry in Madison. I thought because of this heat, but also because of the fun that a child can have with this basic piece of hardware, I nominate the garden hose. I'm watering my flowers with one as I listen.
That is fantastic. And every year we get nominations for what I would call sort of non-toy playthings, and we're enthusiasts for those too. We've inducted the stick and the cardboard box, and last year we inducted the blanket, as in blanket forts or superheroes capes. And we hear a lot of advocates for sand and water and dirt, and garden hoses and garden sprinklers are certainly ones that are near and dear to my heart at this time of year.
Yes, certainly. The running through that sprinkler, that's a great one. I love that you have inducted the stick as in the Toy Hall of Fame, because it is something kids play with.
It is, and you can go so many directions with that, whether it's your magic wand, whether it's your princess scepter, whether it's your rifle as you're holding off the invaders from your fort. All of those kinds of things. And I like to think of it as a cross-species plaything. Even my dog understands that sticks are fun.
And I love the blanket is in there, too. I remember putting blankets over the living room couch and chairs and building a fort with a blanket.
That is so great. One of the hardest things for the non-toy playthings is for me as a curator to have ways to collect those. So we're very dependent and eager on willing donors who will share their snapshots, their home videos that show these items in use, rather than showing a folded blanket on a shelf in a museum is not very exciting. A picture of your blanket fort would be priceless as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, I wish I had one. Maybe I do. Mark in Ashland is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your toy proposal?
My toy proposal is the Erector set. Spent many a Saturday, rainy morning, building unique and fun things with the Erector set.
Yeah, what did you build?
Oh, a skyscraper, because it had a little electric motor that you could lift a cart up.
Ooh, cool.
You had the deluxe version with those motors. That's what lots of boys aspired to when they bought the basic sets.
And the Erector set is in the Toy Hall of Fame, isn't it, Chris?
It is. And in fact, the Erector set was a creation of a man named A.C. Gilbert. And funny, the National Toy Hall of Fame started in Salem, Oregon, at a museum called A.C. Gilbert's Discovery Village. And oddly enough, the Erector set got in the first class of inductees back in 1998.
Excellent. Tinker Toys are there, too. Tinker Toys were my, I guess, my Erector set.
I had those as well, and they were based on an inventor who was observing kids playing with wooden spools of thread and sticks and pencils and thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a basic assembly toy, construction toy, and those tubular cans of Tinker Toys were the result.
Have Legos been around long enough to be considered?
They have. In fact, they came to the U.S. in the 1960s, and they are well in the Hall of Fame. And in fact, I was lucky enough to be able to employ an Lego sculptor to build us a 3-foot-high sculpture of a Crayola crayon box, another toy in the Hall of Fame.
We are talking about toys that are in the Hall of Fame and the next toys that should be in the Hall of Fame with Chris Bench, who is the Vice President for Collections at The Strong in Rochester, New York. We'll take more of your proposals after we check the news. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. The kite is one of the toys already in the Hall of Fame. What should be the next one? Let us know after we check the latest news.
When you send it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your pistol and tight to the string of your kite.
Well, I don't know about that. The Hula Hoop was inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame in 1999. It's one of the 49 toys currently in the Toy Hall of Fame. What should be the 50th inductee? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, July 3rd. We are talking with a guest about the National Toy Museum and how you can nominate a toy this month. We are accepting your questions and your suggestions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Chris Bench. He is Vice President for Collections at The Strong in Rochester, New York. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. The Hula Hoop. You can. Did you know that you could play anywhere from 3 to 110?
No, and I've never heard that jingle before. I'm going to have to get a copy of that for myself. That is a great one.
Where'd you find that, Amanda? My producer, Amanda Magnus, found that one. But I didn't even know. I guess you play the way you'd win is if you could keep on doing the hula hoop and the others drop to the ground. That must be how you win.
That's right. And in fact, I judged a hula hoop contest at our county fair, and all the kids were way too good at hula hoops. They kept them up for a long time, and we finally awarded prizes to everybody after 15 minutes.
They all deserved them. Victor in Milwaukee has been waiting. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Chris. I have two of them. Both of them are kind of generational, because I'm not sure the children in this day and age even play with these. One of them was more of an art toy. It was called a wood-burning set. You would have these wooden flat pieces of wood, and it would have, like, red outlines. You would take a hot pen, and you would trace it, and they would have pictures of JFK or Bolt or a clown, and you would trace it, and you would make art out of it.
You know what? My brother had some sort of wood-burning set like that, Victor. So I think what about that one, Chris?
You know, I haven't had anybody nominate that before, but we do have examples of that toy in our collection from the 1920s onward. So it's one that's been around a long time and has encouraged creativity in lots of kids.
Yeah, there we go. Did you have something else, Victor?
I think this is a common one. Again, this is another generation one. I had a jack-in-the-box. What you do is you turn a little handle, and it'll play some little music, and this little clown would just pop out of it, just spring out of it.
Yeah, the pop goes the weasel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is the jack-in-the-box in there, Chris?
It's already in the Hall of Fame. So, Victor, you've got good taste in toys.
Thanks a lot, Victor. Have fun today and stay cool. Our next caller is Gary in Iron River. Hello, Gary.
Yes, good morning, Joy and Chris. I also have some from the past. One is can still be current, but the tree, the homemade slingshot.
Oh, yeah?
The homemade wood willow whistle, the last two of which you made as a young boy with your first pocket knife.
Look, all those things. Yeah, you could even use a blade of grass for a whistle, couldn't you, Gary?
There you go, that's right, between your two thumbs.
Yes, so those ought to have a place somewhere, Chris.
They should, mm-hmm. And I always envied my father who could do that grass trick between his two thumbs pressed together, and I wheezed and wheezed and hyperventilated and never could make that work.
Yeah, me neither.
We have a few slingshots, the kind that Gary's mentioning in the museum's collection, and those homemade stick ones, they are hard to find. They are not something that anybody puts away in the attic to sell on eBay or save for the grandkids. So they are tough for museums to collect, but I'm thrilled that we've got a couple, and I'm glad that Gary brought those up.
Thank you very much, Gary. And Tony in Wakefield, Michigan is with us. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Joy, and hello, Chris. What a wonderful subject to wake up to in the morning.
It's fun.
Yes, it is very much fun. Well, I have actually two of them. The first one is the board game that was called Mousetrap.
I always loved that game. I don't even though it never, I could never, we'd lose all the pieces all the time.
Well, losing the pieces, I don't even remember how the game played, to be honest with you, but I think I had to draw cards or roll dice or something. But the concept was to build this contraption with a rolling ball and a man flipping off of a platform into a bucket. And the whole thing was to get this little bucket to shake down on top of the mouse. And it worked less than half the time.
Yes, exactly.
But it was such a, you know, it was such a creative thing, and it was like, okay, fine. There were times that I wouldn't even play with the dice and the cards. I would just build the thing and see if I can get it to work, which was so thrilling. And the other one, of course, has to be Play-Doh, because Play-Doh is, you know, you get these four containers of different colored stuff. And it was so creative. I mean, you could build dinosaurs and animals and people and houses. And at the end of the day, when you're done with the Play-Doh, it would either turn very hard like rocks, or you'd have rainbow colors in all of the different containers, because you couldn't pull off and clean them up. Those were things that actually made you think and made you just enjoy yourself on a rainy, cold day or something.
You're right, Tony. Brought back a lot of memories. A quick glance, I don't see Mousetrap in there. Am I missing it, Chris?
No, it has not made it yet, and I'm a big Mousetrap advocate. It was a real breakthrough toy with the wonders of plastic and three dimensions. It took board games into really a dramatic third dimension. And if you're of an age to remember the elaborate cartoons of a guy named Rube Goldberg, who designed these bizarre contraptions where you would have a dog on a treadmill running after a hot dog, and that triggered wheels that went on to pull a pulley, and Mousetrap is exactly that kind of thing. And if you want a really fun scaled-up version, there are people who've created giant mousetraps as part of the Maker Faire expositions, and it involves bowling balls instead of the little ball bearings or marbles of the game, and the end of the one that I've seen on YouTube has a contraption falling down on a minivan instead of a mouse.
Well, I see some board games on here, though. Candyland is on here. In the Game of Life, that was a board game, wasn't it?
That's right, mm-hmm. And that's just celebrated its 50th anniversary, mm-hmm. And I'm lucky enough to have met its inventor, Ruben Klamer, who really took, again, the plain board game to a new dimension. There were hills and valleys on the Game of Life board, and that wonderful ratchety spinner instead of a dice to control your moves as you built your family and moved your little plastic car around the board.
And Play-Doh is in the Hall of Fame. It had to be.
It did, but mm-hmm. It didn't start as a toy originally. Play-Doh was originally wallpaper cleaner and came in gallon cans, and you rubbed this gummy substance down your greasy, grimy, soot-covered wallpaper and cleaned it up.
Oh, well, it was a good time, I guess.
But in the 1950s, they saw the handwriting on the wall with gas furnaces and electric baseboard heat and said, we've got to do something else or we're going to be obsolete. And they added color, they downsized it into little cans instead of gallon cans, and renamed it Play-Doh.
Well, that was pretty darn smart. Silly Putty is another that reminds me of. I used to play with Silly Putty too. That didn't start off as a toy either, did it?
No, that was a product of World War II when chemists at DuPont were looking for substitutes for rubber. And Silly Putty had some great qualities. It bounced better than rubber. It stretched further than rubber. For people like you and me who live in cold northern states, it had a liability as tires because it would shatter when it froze. So it was not the rubber substitute. The folks from DuPont put it on a shelf, but every now and again they'd trot it out at cocktail parties as a novelty for adults. And one thing led to another, and finally it got packaged in those little plastic eggs and went on to lift Beetle Bailey and Brenda Starr and Batman out of comic pages and comic books and let you stretch it all over the place.
Yeah, fun times. On Facebook, David says, I would nominate the Atari 2600, the genesis of the demise of the toy as we knew it. What about that?
It is already in the Hall of Fame. We recognized the Atari 2600 in 2007 as a landmark toy. It was not the first home entertainment center video game system. It wasn't even the best of its time, but it was the one that had huge sales impact, and he's absolutely right. It changed the entire face of play ever after.
And along those lines, John in Green Bay is with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. I have a suggestion. I know it might not be able to make it into the Hall of Fame because of its age, but I would suggest the iPad or iPhone with all the apps that have come along. It's basically changed the way that gaming has evolved from not only the way you play, but also the price point that you play.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Also, the what that you play, what was that last part, John? Okay. All right. And Chris, well, the iPad isn't 20 years old, but maybe that's going to be in the future.
I think so. And I've been talking with some game designers who talk about games and electronic playthings aging down further and further, so that there are videos on YouTube of babies who are pinching and pulling and doing all those other kinds of tablet and iPhone motions, that something that's so intuitive that kids are growing up with that from their very youngest days. And again, it's a new shape of play, and I think it'll eventually need to get recognized for its groundbreaking, world-changing qualities.
Thank you very much, John. We are talking about toys that ought to be in the National Toy Hall of Fame. What toy do you think ought to be the next toy that gets this honor? The Strong is accepting nominations for the National Toy Hall of Fame. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather for today, it is going to be hot. An excessive heat warning has been posted for parts of southern and western Wisconsin. That excessive heat warning is actually going to remain in effect until 10 p.m., 10 o'clock on Friday night. High temperatures today between 85 in the north to more than 100 degrees in the south, 102. There is a good chance of rain in northern Wisconsin this morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Barbie, you're beautiful. You make me feel my Barbie doll is really real.
We are talking about iconic toys, toys that belong in the National Toy Hall of Fame. Do you have a proposal? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Chris Bench. He is Vice President for Collections at the Strong in Rochester, New York. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. You will find a link to the National Toy Hall of Fame's website on our Facebook page. If you would like to go there and nominate a toy, but we welcome your on-air nominations during the rest of this hour. The Barbie doll, is the Barbie doll in there, Chris?
Oh, you couldn't have a Toy Hall of Fame without Barbie and
right.
The impact she has had.
Yeah, and you have other, there's the baby doll is in there too. Just I actually remember playing with those kinds of dolls even more than Barbie.
Did you have one of those drinking wet dolls?
I did. I don't know if it was Susie something or other. I can't remember.
I also hear a lot from a little older doll advocates who advocate a talking doll from the 1960s, and that was Chatty Cathy.
That, I did have a Chatty Cathy, and I also had a Raggedy Ann.
Okay, Raggedy Ann and her brother Andy are both in the Hall of Fame, but Chatty Cathy is not yet, where you pulled that ring and she had a record player inside that played about a dozen phrases,
and then
I recall.
They would get kind of warped and sound kind of strange after a while.
That's right. And she'd get kind of a stutter if you pulled it the wrong way.
That is so funny. Well, so maybe Chatty Cathy's time has come.
She is certainly a nostalgia toy, and she went on to influence other toys of the era. There was a successor called Charmin' Chatty. There were various sorts of speak and spell kind of toys where you pulled the string and it recited various educational or entertaining things for toddlers. It was a technology that Mattel used over and over again. When you have a good thing, you apply it to a lot of toys.
Well, you mentioned when we started that you already have some 300 nominations. Said Silly String was one of them. The Transformer toys, another. Anything else that seems to be a front runner so far?
You know, last year we inducted Hot Wheels toy cars into the National Toy Hall of Fame, and all their sort of counter-advocates, the folks who loved Matchbox cars best, I'm hearing from them as well, saying that we've overlooked the other great little toy car.
Yeah, they're going to start a lobbying effort. Joey in Patch Grove is with us. Hello, Joey.
Hello, how you doing? I've got a nomination for a couple board games, and I actually have a story, short story about some Victor nominated the Jack in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the board games I believe should be in are Battleship and Clue.
Oh, yeah, two good ones.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, hold on. What about? Yeah, I mean, Battleship and Clue certainly were iconic.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I played Battleship growing up when you didn't even buy a board. You did it all as pencil and paper on sort of graph paper to figure out where you were going to send your salvos and sink the ships of your opponent.
And everybody knows about Colonel Mustard and the Candlestick. Yeah. Joey, what else? Did you have a story about the Jack in the Box?
Yeah, there's a comedian called The Amazing Jonathan who has a Jack in the Box as a prop. He's a comedian magician.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I remember this, having this as a kid and stuff. This is way back in the 90s and stuff when he had this. And he had the prop, he pulled the handle, or turned the handle, and the song would play. And the jack wasn't popping out, so he decided to tap it a bit. The bottom drops out. Here's a clown hanging from a noose with a note saying, I couldn't handle that song anymore.
I have to admit, the Jack in the Box... They scared me a little bit. I mean, you really did jump out of your skin, and I was never a huge fan of the clown either, so they can be scary. Susan in Janesville is with us. Hello, Susan. Susan, did you have a toy to nominate? Oh, I'm sorry. It sounds like Susan's listening, but we can't hear you, Susan. Pickup sticks she was going to nominate.
Oh, pickup sticks, jack straws, they're sometimes known as. That's a toy that goes way, way back before manufactured toys. So that is one that is up there in age with things like marbles and jacks and kites that go back 3,000 years.
They go back 3,000 years. Wow. Tom in Mequon is with us next. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Joy. I was wondering if anybody nominated plastic models that came out in the 50s and 60s, airplanes, cars, boats, submarines.
Yeah. Plastic models, Chris?
You know, there are fans of model kits, and they've been bringing them up, sometimes particular brands like Revell and Monogram that were big successes of their era. And I know that I made a few in my time. They never looked like the illustration on the cover. My paint was cloppy. My glue didn't hold things at the proper angles. It was operator error. It was not the model kit's fault.
Thanks very much, Tom, for the call. Tanya emails from Fort Atkinson. My favorite toy was the Light Bright. I spent so much time pushing those colored plastic pegs into the front of the backlit panel. It came with so many sheets with different pictures to bring to light, and then also blank sheets for me to create whatever image I wanted. Yeah, the Light Bright. What about that, Chris?
Oh, that is such a great proposal. In fact, that's one of the toys that I've heard numerically most about, and I'm so excited about Light Bright that we just acquired the original prototype. When the inventor was laying out how Light Bright would work, we just acquired that for the museum's collection. So we have the iconic original Light Bright as well as other examples, and I think it would make a great addition to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks, Tanya, for that. You have everything at the museum, Chris. I'm going to have to check that place out next time I'm in Rochester, New York.
400,000 items.
How many?
400,000.
Wow. Linda and Phillips, your nomination, Linda.
My nomination is Cootie.
How come?
The game of Cootie. Remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, it was like bugs.
Not because I like Cootie, but yeah, it was a lot of fun with shaking the dice and it was helping you be creative right away, putting that little creature together. And we just had a lot of fun sitting at the table on rainy days playing that game. So.
Yeah, it sounds great, Linda. Thanks very much. So we have just a minute or so to go. You gave us some hints, Chris, but is there a toy that you want to see inducted into the National Hall of Fame in November?
You know, I am hoping that maybe this is the year that fortunes turn out all right, and Magic 8-Ball makes it into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, gosh, we have to get a Magic 8-Ball, shake it, and say, will the Magic 8-Ball become inducted into the National Hall of Fame?
That's right.
Well, all right, so again, the people can nominate through the end of this month and goes to the selection committee, and then sometime in mid-November after the election, we will have our answer.
November 10th.
Thank
Keep watching.
Thank you very much. Chris Bench is Vice President for Collections at The Strong. The museum includes the National Toy Hall of Fame and the National Museum of Play. Thanks for all of your nominations. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thanks to Naya Mukherjee for on-air production. This has been fun. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. When you should sway.